Please sit down. Our first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. And here the prophet Isaiah tells of the coming of the king some 600 years before Jesus is born. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Second reading is from Luke 2, 1 to 14. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with the child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
The third reading is taken from John 10, and if you turn to it in the blue book, it's on page 30. 30. And we're reading from verse 7, which is at the bottom of the page. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd.
It's been said that there are four stages of life. You heard of the four stages of life? Number one, you believe in Santa Claus. Number two, you don't believe in Santa Claus. Number three, you become Santa Claus. And number four, you start to look like Santa Claus. I put in my notes, I can't see any stage fours this evening. I think I'll probably amend that to I can't see many stage fours. You're very welcome with us. Some stage ones down in the creche. I think I'm on fairly safe ground in saying that all of us will have at least reached stage two and no longer believe in Father Christmas. For many people, Jesus is in the same category. The baby in the manger stuff, well, that's fine for the kids, but you grow out of it. It's not something that any thinking adult would take too seriously. If you want to keep the tradition, well, that's fine. It's quaint, it's nostalgic. But this story of a baby born in a stable some 2,000 years ago, that has not got any relevance to my life today as a thinking adult. I've got more important issues on my plate. Do you mind me asking what those more important issues might be? What really matters to you? What are you actually looking for in life? Perhaps happiness, peace, security, significance, purpose, direction, meaning, love. Have you ever considered that the baby in the manger might actually be the answer to all those longings and more? Put it this way, he thinks he is. If you press the fast forward button on that baby's life and you then press pause some 30 years later, you end up at the account that was just read to us from John chapter 10. The baby in a manger is now a man with a mission. And in his own words, his mission is this. We just heard it. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's in John chapter 10, verse 10. You've heard of 2020 vision. Well, this is the 10-10 mission. He came to give us life, abundant life, life to the full. I'm going to make just two very simple points this evening, and that is the first one, that Jesus came to give life to us. Jesus came to give life to us. Now that will come as a surprise to many people. There's a popular misconception that Jesus came not to give us abundant life, but rather to mess up our lives. Isn't that what people think? Jesus has come to stop me having fun. Jesus has come to constrain me in a straitjacket of rules and regulations. Jesus has come to wreck my Sunday mornings with church services when I'd rather be out playing golf in the sun. Sometimes perhaps we as followers of Jesus haven't always done the best job of conveying accurately why Jesus came. And that's why it's best to get back to the source documents yourself and to get it straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. If finding peace, purpose, meaning in life, if that is at all on your wish list at this Christmas time, then that mission statement alone by Jesus should leave you itching to want to find out more. What does Jesus actually mean when he says that? In Monty Python's film, The Holy Grail, I seem to remember one scene from years back where you've got this band of knights arriving at a French castle. And they explain to the lookout on the ramparts that they want his master to join them in their search for the Holy Grail. And the lookout replies, and I won't try to do the accent, but the lookout replies, I don't think my master will be interested, because he's already got one. And thank you. In the film, it's one of the funniest lines. But I guess, like Tom, you need to have seen it too. And it may be that you feel something of the same when you hear Jesus say, "I've come that they may have life." You may be thinking, "Well, I don't need that. I've already got one." Yeah, plenty of things I haven't got, but last time I checked, there was a pulse and I was still breathing. So if I've already got life, surely I don't need to be given it by Jesus. I mean, with life, just the one tends to do for most people. Well, here's the surprise. If all you've got is physical life, you're not really living at all. If all you've got is physical life, you're not really living at all. Because the life that Jesus is talking about is something different. It's something extra. It's what he calls eternal life. That's how he refers to it in verse 28, for example. Verse 28 is just over the page, if you've still got a finger in chapter 10. Page 32, he says, in verse 28, "I give them eternal life." Now, eternal life is not what you think. It isn't just life that goes on and on forever. And thank goodness. I mean, life's okay, isn't it? But would you want another 70 years of this? Never mind forever. I mean, even working here on the barge could wear a bit thin after that length of time. I don't know about your job, but I like it. But even another 70 years seems a bit of a stretch. Eternal life, it's not about quantity so much as quality. So eternal life is a different kind of life, which begins now, but which is so strong that not even death can destroy it. It's sharing the life of God himself. Now that may sound a little bit airy-fairy, sharing the life of God himself. So what on earth does that look like in the here and now? Well, to give us some idea of what he's talking about, Jesus uses a picture from everyday life. Not from my everyday life, or not from your everyday life, I guess, but from the everyday life of his first hearers. Unless you just happen to keep sheep in your back garden, which I guess most of us don't. You see, Jesus asks us to picture ourselves as sheep. No need to act it out. Mental picture will do. There you are. You're standing by a sheep pen. So you just imagine a stone enclosure with a door in it. Now take a look at verse 9 of chapter 10. Verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So that's what the experience of eternal life is like in the present, according to Jesus. And it has at least three qualities. Firstly, fulfillment. Fulfillment. Jesus says there that having eternal life is a bit like being a sheep that goes in and out of the sheep pen freely and finds pasture. So it's spiritually well fed. It's satisfied. By contrast, without this eternal life, if we do not have this eternal life, we will wander through this life spiritually hungry, spiritually weary, longing for purpose and for meaning and for satisfaction. Because we were created to enjoy this eternal life, without it, there is a void at the centre of our lives that nothing else can fill. Nothing at all. No salary, no matter how high. No car, no matter how flash. No relationship, no matter how loving. No success, no matter how meteoric. Not even an Xbox 360. Far from filling the void, these good things, all they do is they just rattle around in that space like so many marbles in an empty dustbin. So firstly, fulfillment. Secondly, security. Security. Eternal life gives the sheep a sheep pen in which to find shelter and to find protection. What would you be willing to pay me if I could guarantee you inner peace? Well, I can't, but I know a man who can. The inner peace that comes from knowing that you're spiritually safe, you're spiritually secure. As Jesus says in verse 29 over the page, no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. That is security. fulfillment, security. Thirdly, relationship. Eternal life gives us relationship with God himself through Jesus Christ. So in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. That is the relationship for which we were created in the first place. Without it, we are like orphans. Orphans in a hostile universe. Well, this is the life that Jesus has come to give us. Eternal life, a life of fulfillment, of security, and of relationship with God himself. A life that not even death can destroy. Now, that is not to say that in this world it will be a bed of roses. Jesus, in fact, warns those who receive this eternal life, he warns that they will face opposition in this world. And chapter 9, the one before our passage, chapter 9, gives an example of that. Why not read it later? But once you've got eternal life, nothing else can take that away. So Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came down from heaven to give us life. As the beginning of this account says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. If this eternal life was being sold on eBay in an online auction, how high do you think the bidding would go? How much would you be prepared to pay for it? Well, Jesus is offering it for free, completely for free. All we have to do is to ask him for it. Now, one question you might be thinking already is, well, can Jesus deliver on that? Can he deliver what he's promising? Well, if not, he's either lying through his teeth or he's a complete nutter. So which is it? Well, why not read the source material for yourself? John's Gospel would take, I guess, a couple of hours max to read from cover to cover. It's not just full of staggering claims. It is full of staggering evidence, miracles, what John calls signs. According to chapter 20 in here, in verse 31, these signs or miracles are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. No leap in the dark required. If I finish there, I'd be leaving you shortchanged. You've only actually got half the picture of his mission. And my second point, and much more briefly as we close, is this. That Jesus came to lay down his life for us. Jesus came to lay down his life for us. So if you look at verse 11. In verse 11 he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Just imagine a shepherd out there with a flock of sheep. And one day the shepherd says to his flock, he says, okay, listen up, guys. I love you enormously. In fact, I love you so much that I'm now going to show you just how much I love you. And I'm going to do that by laying down my life for you. And with those words, the shepherd goes and he hurls himself off the nearest cliff to his death hundreds of feet below. I guess the sheep would be left a little bit puzzled by that, sort of scratching their woolly heads. And you might be thinking as well, how does Jesus laying down his life, how could that possibly help anybody? Just like the shepherd sort of throwing himself off the cliff. What good does it do the sheep? You've actually got to imagine a very different scene. Imagine instead that the shepherd is out with his flock, with his sheep, and he hears the howl of a wolf. All of a sudden, this huge beast leaps out from the undergrowth to attack the sheep. The shepherd throws himself onto this wolf to protect his flock, and he's savaged to death in the ensuing fight, while his sheep trot off to safety. That is more the sort of picture that Jesus is talking about. Jesus laid down his life to rescue us. He laid down his life to rescue us. So verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he says, who does not own the sheep, He sees the wolf coming and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. Well, a good shepherd like Jesus, that is exactly what you need if you are a sheep and you're up against a savage wolf. If you are in danger as a sheep, that is exactly what you need. And I guess the obvious question it begs is, well, are we in any danger as people? Are we in danger? Well, according to Jesus, we are, and he should know. Read John's Gospel for yourself. There are warning signs up all over the place in this account saying, danger, danger. The warning sign you keep going past when you read one of these accounts is this. It is that God is actually very cheesed off with us. Well, that's an understatement. God is angry. And we're heading for judgment. We're heading for eternal separation from God. Why? Well, this account says it's because we refuse to live with God as God in our lives. What a wolf is to a flock of sheep, so God's judgment is to us. It spells danger, mortal danger. Without a shepherd to rescue us, we are in real trouble. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd that God himself has provided to rescue us. So he came to give his life for us, to rescue us from that judgment, to rescue us for eternal life. That's what was going on. He came to rescue us from judgment for the eternal life that we're talking about here. Now just think about that. Who else could do that for you? Well, the answer is no one. No life coach, no mind, body, spirit guru, no one at all. Only Jesus through his death for our forgiveness. Jesus came to give us life, and he came to give us life by giving his life for us. It leaves us with just three options. Number one, you could reject this offer of eternal life through his death for you. Well, it's a free country. Number two, you could find out more. Yeah, do take away this copy of John's Gospel. Read it for yourself. Do pick up a leaflet from the table that explains a bit more. Why not sign up for one of our courses we run each term, new one beginning in January, called Christianity Explored. Why not come back on Sunday evenings to hear more? So one, you could reject the offer. Two, you could find out more. Or three, you could accept the offer. You could do that by praying a very simple prayer to God. Something like, Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to give me eternal life. Thank you that you came to give your life for me. Please be my shepherd. Please give me strength to follow you. That prayer would mark the beginning of a new life, of eternal life. Christmas is a time for giving. Christmas is also a time for receiving the eternal life that God, in his mercy and his love, offers us completely for free. We're going to stand again, and we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that at Christmas we can remember that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth. We thank you for Jesus' life and ministry, and the fact that he came so that we might have abundant life through his sacrifice. Dear Lord, we pray that this Christmas we would not get lost in the excitement of giving and receiving presents, but that you would give us the time to think through the great news of the real meaning of Christmas, and that we might really know the depth of your love for us. Also, please help us to think clearly and humbly of our response to your love and grace to us. Holy God, we thank you that Christmas is a time when many of us can enjoy time away from work and we can meet with friends and family. But we pray for those for whom this Christmas will be a lonely time. We ask that you would reach out especially to those in need of friendship and comfort, that they may know your companionship and love. Lord, please give them hope, not only in this life, but for life eternal.
Dear Lord, we pray for the country of Iraq. We thank you for the elections there this week and for the fact that they were largely peaceful. Sovereign God, we pray that you will bring a strong and lasting peace to that country. And Lord, we pray that you'll protect the British forces who are currently working there. Lord, we also pray for the many people around the world who are in need this Christmas, whether through natural disasters or wars. We ask, Lord, that you would help all those working to bring comfort, food, and essential supplies to these areas. We also pray that your gospel will be heard by many people and that they may come to know the richness of your grace and the enormity of your love. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Do sit down. And mulled wine and mince pies are going to make their way to you in just a minute as you sit. And I think the best thing is if we can stay sitting for a few minutes so that we get a chance to go around with the trays of hot drinks and so on. That lessens the likelihood of someone ending up with a tray of hot drinks over them. Can I encourage you to take away the postcards advertising the barge that you were given as you came in? They should have been in the little booklets. And you'll see on there that that also has our website address on the back. And on the website, you can find all the talks that are given here on Sundays and on Wednesday lunchtimes and at other times. And you can listen to those online, or you can download them to your iPod or some other MP3 player so that you can listen to the talks that go on here. Do also take away the blue John's Gospels. They're our Christmas gift to you, and do read them. And the Christianity Explored cards are the other things that should be in there. And Christianity Explored is that short course that Marcus mentioned, which gives an opportunity to explore the Christian claims a little bit further and discuss them in a small group, and also to read more of the Bible and to weigh up whether it's something that you want to believe and trust. So if that sounds of interest to you, the details are all there. Do fill in the details on the back, your name and contact details, and put this in the wicker basket that's on the steps on the way out, and we'll be in touch with you. Over by the steps there as well, you'll also find a table which has some of these little leaflets, which are about the Narnia film that's out in the cinemas just at the moment, and it explains how the Narnia story relates to the Christian message. So do pick up one of those if you're planning on seeing the film, or if you've seen it already and you want to see a bit further how it relates to the Christian message. They're free and on the table in the corner. Do join us any Sunday at 6 o'clock, except next Sunday. So we won't be meeting next Sunday, which is Christmas Day, but there will be a service up at St Anne's Church on Commercial Road at 10:30 in the morning, and we'll meet here again in 2 weeks' time, on Sunday the 1st of January. So hope to see you then. I think refreshments are ready, so do stay seated as they're passed round, and I'll just pray as we close. Let's pray. Our Father God, as we reflect on and respond to what's been taught this evening, please would you give us a grasp of the Christmas message. Would you give us a grasp of the shepherd who came to lay down his life for his sheep and to give them life. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. Amen.